this evening or rather afternoon's program. We're very happy that Madam Mukund Prabhu and family have given us an opportunity to take darshan of Nitai Gaur Sundar Ji. This is 5 years, Prabhu?
Madam Mukund Prabhu?
Madam Mukund Prabhu, is it 5 years?
5 years.
5 years.
Wonderful.
And I'm sure a large portion of this wonderful worship has also been supported by the family and the parents. They have worked very hard. So we want to take this opportunity to read something from Bhagavatam, and in that way we will become very peaceful to understand the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Jai Gopi Chanda Vallabha Jai Gopi Chanda Vallabha
Jai Sri Chidananda Sri Jai Sri 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 Jai Sri 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 Jai Sri 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 Jai Sri 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 Sri
Sometimes when we speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially even in India, or to speak of outside of India, many persons don't actually appreciate their true position. And very often, if you try to tell them that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna, then they actually have some doubts. Perhaps maybe in Bengal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more revered and understood. So for example, if you come all the way to Gujarat, it takes time for people to understand and accept and appreciate the Siddhanta of who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are. So sometimes people say that perhaps they were great saintly personalities. And maybe because they were saintly personalities, you have elevated them to a status which is very high. So perhaps that is the reason why it's very common in Indian culture that a very great personality very often is given godly status. Jashka Prabhupada E. So sometimes that is there. So sometimes people ask also, where is the evidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are actually not different from Krishna? Because Krishna doesn't say it in Bhagavad Gita, so how can it be? So sometimes we have to find the correct way of presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given actually in the pages of the greatest scriptures for all of us, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be Amala Puran. Therefore, whatever that Srimad Bhagavatam gives is accepted as authority. Sometimes people look through Srimad Bhagavatam and they ask, which part of Srimad Bhagavatam is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? There's nothing really given up here. But all our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, made it very clear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatness and the description of him is actually given in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is actually found in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, 33rd and 34th verses. So 11, 5, 33 and 34 of Srimad Bhagavatam conclusively tell us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna. And our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they all the acharyas accept this verse as the standing verse of understanding who Mahaprabhu is. Deyam sada parigavadnam abhishtabhoham titaspadam sivavidinchinutam sharanyam vrityatiham pranatapada bhavadipotam vande maha purushate charanaravindam. So this is the verse in 11.5.33 that tells us the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The translation to the verse is very nice. And Prabhupada actually quotes both these verses in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should understand that this is not a concoction from anyone, and that actually the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given in our scriptures. But the verse itself is important for us to realize his greatness. In the 11th canto, you find actually that in the conversation between the personalities, especially sage Harbhajan, you'll find that actually he's the personality who's speaking to Maharaj Nini and telling him about the greatness of Mahaprabhu. And here in this verse particularly, they address Mahaprabhu very nicely. So he says actually that, my dear Lord, you are the Mahapurush. In other words, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he goes on to say that I worship your lotus feet. Because actually the whole of the verse is about Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. He says this lotus feet, they actually can give us something very wonderful. The first thing that the lotus feet of Krishna, Mahaprabhu, can give us is that the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu are the only eternal object of meditation. This is a very important point. Dhyayam Sada. Sada means always. Sada means constantly. And dhyayam means to meditate. So this is an important point that we must understand. The fact is, there are no hard and fast rules to meditating on the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So it has two meanings actually. The first meaning is that one should always meditate on Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. The second meaning is that one is allowed to meditate always on Mahaprabhu's lotus feet because there are no hard and fast rules to approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna established so many rules and regulations that one must follow. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he made it very simple. He gave us this wonderful potency of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, you find that Krishna is not so merciful because there are so strict rules and regulations to approach the Supreme Lord. But in this fallen age of Kali Yuga, even though this age is full of fault, it is very nicely stated by Acharyas that we have one great we have one great boon in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, whatever fault that we have, it is completely eradicated by the chanting of the Holy Name. This is also confirmed in Bhagavatam by Sukracharya. When Vamandev turns to him finally at the end of the wonderful Leela and asks him, Sukracharya, so what do you have to say? Because Bali Maharaj has disobeyed you. Sukracharya says very nicely that there may be discrepancies. There may be nischidram. Nischidram in Sanskrit means there may be some discrepancies. Sarva karoti nischidram. There may be so many discrepancies in our worship. For example, beyond work. There are so many actually standards of deity worship that we may not have the capacity to follow. We may not even be qualified to follow it. Then for example, when we do fire sacrifices and all, actually if you follow the correct way of doing that, most of us will never fall into the category of perfection. So very frankly speaking, half of us are not even schooled in Sanskrit language, which means the mantras we chant also, our R's and our U's and everything will be up and down, because this is Kali Yuga. Most of the time we are not even very clean. We are not clean. So all these rules and regulations in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, they were there because the personalities were great. But Dhyayam Sada, the first point of this verse tells us that Mahaprabhu is so kind that his manifestation in Kali Yuga is actually Krishna Varnam. When we talk about Krishna Varnam, it means that he teaches everyone to chant the holy names of Krishna. But we are so fallen that despite the fact that Mahaprabhu has given discount upon discount to chant the holy names of Krishna, we are still not very serious to chant the holy names. We do it when we can. We don't take it as our life and soul. But Mahaprabhu himself says very nicely that Nam Nam Akhari Bhagudha Nijo Sarvasatis. He has invested all his potency, Prabhus and Mahaprabhus, in the chanting of the holy name. Yet because we lack faith, though the whole potency of Krishna is present before us, we are not taking it lightly. So that's why it should be Dhyayam Sada. We must have the faith to take up this meditation on the holy names of the Lord. In this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they don't want any other worship except the chanting of the holy name. When Narasingha Maharaj installed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu in one of his disciples' house, he gave a class. And in that class, he quoted Srila Prabhupada. And someone asked Prabhupada, the worship of Gaur Nithai, what is the standard? What should we offer? And Srila Prabhupada told them, go and die, only live on a diet of the chanting of the holy name. That is their diet. You don't even have to give them 3 times a day of offering, Prabhupada told that person. But if you give them continuous chanting of the holy name, then always they are consuming prasad. So actually, this is exactly in consonance with the 11.5.33. Sometimes we get so caught up in paraphernalia and form that we can easily forget substance. So substance means that we put the chanting of the holy name as our primary occupation duty. So this is something that's very important. The next point that's very important in this verse is that this worshipable lotus feet of Krishna are not only the eternal object of meditation, but they do one thing. They destroy the embarrassing conditions of material existence. Deyam sada paribhavatnam abhishta doham. In fact, the word-to-word translation is insults of material existence, if you read it. Why? Because this whole material existence is actually considered very embarrassing. Embarrassing because we are cheating ourselves. Think about it. It is embarrassment. It is not very nice when you cheat other people. But it is embarrassing when you cheat yourself. It is the height of foolishness to cheat yourself. And that's why it's embarrassing. When something is embarrassing, it means people laugh at us. You know, people think how foolish you are. So Bhagavatam is saying, we are so foolish that while we talk about everything else in this world which is material, we don't understand that the real purpose of our life is completely spiritual. There's nothing to do with that. And yet, excuse upon excuse upon excuse upon excuse, we give. To just tell ourselves that this chanting of the holy name is very difficult to do, because I still have this, I still have that, I still have this, I still have that. Coming to the programs is very difficult to do, because you know, Saturday is the only day we have, or Sunday is the only day we have. These reasons that we give, they are considered in Bhagavatam as embarrassing. It is embarrassing. In fact, it doesn't insult other people. Actually insults ourselves. So it's a very unique point in Bhagavatam. That's why Brahma also says in 396, Bhavad Bhayam Ravinadeha Sruhatnimittam. He says actually that all the living entities in this material world are living in a very embarrassing condition of material existence. And if you read this verse, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is quoted in the purport. And he says that the embarrassing condition of material existence is that even though Gaur and Nithai have given us this opportunity to take our chanting of the holy name, we still continue to ignore their pleas. And the word is plea. Because Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went from house to house producing mantras with a straw in between their teeth. And they just fell at the lotus feet, not lotus actually, but just feet of all these householders and all these demoniac persons. And they prayed to them and begged them that you please chant even one time the holy name. That's what they did. And in this time, after Mahaprabhu has left the material vision of the world, they have become even more merciful. Because not only are they going around today, but they are going around in the form of the holy name perpetually. Perpetually. And this is the opportunity we have. So, if we want to really appreciate the appearance of Nithai Gosudha, the first thing we must remember is that he is Mahapurush. The second thing we must remember, our lives are not complete until he becomes the only object of our meditation. Mahaprabhu should become whole and soul for us. Just like for the gopis, Krishna was whole and soul. For us, Mahaprabhu should become whole and soul. Because if we center our lives around the deities, then our life is always protected. It is not embarrassing. Another feature of the embarrassment of material condition is the nature of envy in our hearts. This is an important point in Bhagavatam. There is always envy in the heart when there is no presence of the holy names. When we become envious of a devotee who is doing very well, then that is actually a surefire symptom of the fact that our sadhana and our chanting is not up to the mark. In other words, we are not pleasing Govinda. If we please their lordships, then they themselves will actually rid us of contamination of envy in the heart. How? Just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That is why this word paribhavagnam is very important in Kali Yuga, because envy is so powerful that even as devotees, we may have given up everything, but in one corner we may still have envy. And how do we nourish envy? We nourish envy by not serving the living entities. When we immediately want to serve the living entities by giving them the holy name, then envy is automatically cleansed from the heart. That is the direct way to stop envy. And envy always comes when we think that I own something or I'm good at something. So where there is pride, Bhagavatam says, there will always be envy. That is why you see in Gaur Leela, all the devotees who actually got the mercy of Mahaprabhu, they got it on the basis of two things. Not attachment to body, using the body in the service of the Lord, and always being very cautious about pride. So pride is the root of envy. And the root of pride is actually attachment to this material body. And the root of attachment to the material body is this constant stream of material desires. And the constant stream of material desires, that root is the need for sense gratification. So you can see the progression. And once there is envy, then what happens is, when we cannot satisfy our envy or our envious nature, which by nature cannot be satisfied anyway, then we become angry, we become frustrated, and then we start blaming everyone else except ourselves. And in that way, how to remember the holy names of the Lord? How to remember Nithai Goswami? So that is why Deham Sada Paribhavagnam, this embarrassing condition of material existence, we should accept. Don't be in denial, Prabhus and Matajis. The nature of this material world is that it will embarrass us. It will embarrass us. Sometimes our pride is very strong, we don't like being embarrassed. You know? Sometimes we move around with devotees, devotees say something, we become very insulted. And then we feel it, you know. And then we feel embarrassed. But we don't realize that the nature of the material world is that it is embarrassing. Our own nature is embarrassing, so why should other people embarrass us? We ourselves are embarrassing ourselves. So, an ability to understand this point in Bhagavatam will actually help us in appreciating the mercy of Maha. That is why we need to worship His lotus feet. Only if we take shelter of His lotus feet can we get rid of this embarrassing condition, this insult to whom we really are. So these are the two things that Mahaprabhu is being given. The third point that's very important is, Mahaprabhu's lotus feet don't only destroy this embarrassing condition, but He replaces it. Sometimes when you renounce something and you don't fill up the gap, what will happen is that renunciation becomes false. You go to Dwarka now, I've said many times, you see many people, you know, from all over India, given up everything. And for a while they look very peaceful. Then 1 year later you come, you see the same persons. Now they have a radio. Now they want to listen to BBC. Then suddenly they have a small heart. Then next time you come, they have all the satellite TV channels. All these things they left there. They gave up. And when you sit with them, they will tell you great stories of their renunciation. I had a wife, children, I was too much, my wife was always on my head, so I left her. Is there renunciation or is there running away? It's a thin line, you know. But they don't realize that after renouncing, there's a gap. What you do is, you just fill it up with more nonsense. And that will make you more embarrassed. They don't realize how embarrassing they are. And they don't realize how much they have forgotten what is the purpose of their existence. So these so-called renunciates, they just move around the dham and hoping at some point at 12 noon they go to Rukmini Mata's temple. There they can line up and sit down. Someone will pray because somebody died. And then they come and give some pinda here. And then they come out and they feed all these people. And they all sit in 3-4 rows. And when they sit down, they are all told by the priest, you just chant out the person's father who died. Chant the name 3 times very loudly. And then they tell us, you know, these sadhus, you know, they are giving so much because they renounced everything. So when they shout your father's name, he will go back to heaven. So what happens then is, you see this sadhu sitting down and eating, and if you don't know, you think they're very great. But after they finish, you go in the afternoon and you see what they're doing. Either they're smoking BDC or they're sitting down watching BDC for the latest news. Why? Because after taking out something, If you don't give something which is more nourishing, you will end up going back to the same life. And this is the greatness of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Mahaprabhu's lotus feet removes the embarrassing condition of life, Bhagavatam tells us, and it gives you a Vishnu Roman. Which means, Bhagavatam tells us, it freely awards, his lotus feet freely awards the greatest desire of the soul, which is attainment of love of God. I'm remembering, you know, where is that? I think it is in 5th chapter, 19th verse. Last week, I think I was speaking on this. Satyam di sati artitam artito minam naivartado yat punaha artitayataha swayam vidate bhajatamani chitam iccha pidana mijapata kalyuram. It's 5:19:27. This verse Mahaprabhu liked very much. If you read the purport, Prabhupada actually quotes Mahaprabhu's feeling on this verse towards the end of the purport in Bhagavatam. And the meaning of the verse is very nice, because the verse tells us the Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee. Supposing we come to Mahaprabhu and say, Mahaprabhu, I want a car. After that, I will chant your holy names. Okay, fine, Mahaprabhu will give you a nice car. But after getting the car, the problem is you don't chant the holy names. Because you say, Mahaprabhu, this car is nice, but even now there's a new car. So I want a new car. So like that, when you go second time to Mahaprabhu, the verse tells us, the Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of the devotees. But if those desires impede or cause him to demand for more material benedictions, the Lord stops giving in to those desires. Very important point. That's why many of us first came to Krishna consciousness very often thinking, Krishna made a miracle, he changed my life around, he cured me of this, he saved my family, he gave us this, that, everything material. Then suddenly, 1 year after being very much in bhakti, Krishna takes everything away. Then we start thinking, my God, why this reduction in mercy? Why suddenly, you know, withdrawal of mercy? Why this misrepresentation? This is 5:19:27. This is the exact point of the devotee's life where Mahaprabhu's mercy actually comes. Why? Because when he realizes, just like a child who's given a play toy, promises I don't need anything more, then comes back again. Sometimes what to do? You all know as parents, we have to do the withdrawal symptom, isn't it? We have to pull it and we have to say no, no more. What happened? Child will cry and cry and cry. It happens. Now Ladini is holding a pen. You take the pen away from her, that's it. So in the same way for the devotee, when the Supreme Lord gives us something material, and all of a sudden, at that point of time, we think, so now this is our relationship. I pray very hard, I come for programs, I sponsor this, sponsor that, Krishna will sponsor everything in my life. We think that way. But when Krishna stops everything and suddenly we have difficulty, suddenly, you know, all kinds of difficulties come in the family life, in the workplace, and this and that, then we start thinking, no, I think maybe Krishna consciousness is not the place for me. At that point, even when the devotee doesn't ask for a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, not interested in love of Godhead at that point of time, this verse tells us the Lord willingly gives the devotee the mercy of his lotus feet, the shelter of his lotus feet, even though, read the verse, even though the devotee does not want it. Can you imagine? You're telling Krishna, I know there's love of Godhead, but not interested. Krishna says, doesn't matter whether you're interested or not, I'm still giving it to you. How much more kind? Force feeding, you know? This is what Mahaprabhu does. This is the lotus feet in 11:5:33. Even if the living entity does not want, he gives it, which is actually what he really wants, but he doesn't know. Have you all been in situations where our children, they are actually hungry, but they do so many other things, and you wonder why they are behaving like this? A perceptive mother or father will know all this behavior is actually the result of no food in the stomach. Happens, right? Very often, doesn't it? And sometimes, have you met people who come and tell you, Guru, I have this big problem? Halfway through, you realize, actually, this is not the problem. My Guru Maharaj said, Devki, if someone tells you he has a headache, maybe he has a stomach ache. It looks like a headache, but it's actually a stomach ache. So Mahaprabhu is very kind. Very often, we don't know what is good for us. We, all of us, we don't know really what is good for us. We think this kind of lifestyle without Mahaprabhu and Krishna is good. Just once a week, we touch Krishna and that's it, when we go on. But when Krishna starts taking over our lives, as Nithai Goswami takes over our lives, what they do is, they put us in very difficult situations. But because that happens, Jayam Sada, we turn to them. And because they give us a higher taste, once we taste the taste of the chanting, once we taste the taste of the devotees' association, then what happens? Then we find actually, this is much better than what I was running after. This is the greatness of mountain. So please remember, in line with 11.5.33, if you want to understand the Lord's special mercy, please look at 5.19.27. If you put two of these verses together, then you can always remind yourself how merciful Nithai Goswami is. Just between these two verses, for the rest of our lifetime, our faith can always be fixed and strong. So this is the next point about the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. After that, the verse tells us that your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places. Sometimes we go to Vrindavan Dham, we go to Mayapur Dham, but the verse tells us the lotus feet is actually the shelter of all these places. So if we want the benefit of all these dhams, we should just take the lotus feet of Nithai Goswami and place them on our heads and in our hearts. Mother Mukund Prabhu and family have so wonderfully worshipped them that even for the untrained eye, we can understand that these deities are actually glorious and wonderful. It doesn't take much realization for us to see. Why? Because they are actually holding all the benefit of dham at their lotus feet. That is why in our Vaishnava tradition, going to holy dham is only beneficial if we go there to hear the sadhus. Prabhupada emphasizes so many times. If you go to holy dham and just move around, that may have some effect. But the real purpose Prabhupada hammered into us in all his conversations and all his purports is you please go there to hear from sadhu. And what would sadhu speak about? Sadhu would speak about Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam speaks about Mahaprabhu. And that is why this verse tells us, you please take shelter of Mahaprabhu, and all knowledge from Bhagavatam is automatically revealed. Chant the name wherever we are. We should create, Prabhupada said, Vrindavan atmosphere in our houses. This house has such a nice Vrindavan atmosphere. We should create Mayapur atmosphere in our house. In that way, we become very peaceful. But if the house becomes Kurukshetra, then Bhagavad Gita is not spoken. Maybe Bhagavad Gita was spoken there because Krishna and Arjuna are there. But when we turn our house into Kurukshetra, then Nithai Goswami and their service is gone. So it becomes our duty, Prabhu Sri Mataji, to also become instruments in creating that Vrindavan atmosphere. And that Vrindavan atmosphere is automatically attained at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And not only is the whole holy dham and all the holy places at his lotus feet, but frankly speaking, Siva Virinchi Mutam Sharanyam, all the great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are also running to take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adventured into this world, they all came. They came in all the forms of his great personal associates. This itself is proof of how great a personality he is. If the devatas are lining up to take birth to be personal associates of the Lord and not vice versa, then we understand the supreme position of our body. And that is why we should understand that we don't have to go hither and thither to take care of anything. Don't be caught up. The problem in devotional service is we start very strongly with Krishna, but halfway through we get caught up with some puja here, some puja there. And then we say, you know, Prabhu, times are not good here. We do a Satyanarayan puja there. And then we do this puja here. And then we do that puja there. We don't need pujas. We just need to chant the holy names of the Lord. Once you get married, right, you don't tell your wife, you know, after 1 year I have to go to the next wife. You don't say that. You don't move your eyes here and there to look at other people's wives. You just look at your wife. That's all. So why is it that when we come to Krishna, after coming to Krishna, when things become bad, we have to look here and there? Why? That means we are not with Krishna. This is the point. We are not with his lotus feet. That's why be perfectly chaste in devotion service. Chastity. This is very, very important. Mahaprabhu gave everything to us in Kali Yuga. His chastity he has kept. But our role of chastity we must keep. This is very important. There should be no deviation in our movement in devotion service. It should be exactly the way Prabhupada gave us, exactly the way our spiritual masters have given us. Don't make a U-turn anywhere, don't turn into a slip road anywhere. Just follow the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and you will reach the destination. Very simple. And if you follow the lotus feet of the spiritual master, because Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is on him, then you will reach the destination of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Very easy. We have our own GPS, you know, we have the Guru positioning system. It's very simple. Just follow Guru's advice, follow his instructions, and you will attain the love of Godhead at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And finally, last 2 points of 11.5.33 is very important. Because it is stated here that Mahaprabhu is so kind that he is willing to protect. This is a nice point. Vrityatiham. He is such a friend of the fallen soul that he is willing to protect and relieve all the distresses of his servants. And he is ready always to just give shelter to anyone who simply bows down with respect. The word simply is very nice. When you say something is simple, it means there's no duplicity. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, and he's quoted in the Bhagavatam Purport, that when we come to Krishna, when we come to the shelter of Nithai Gosundar, the way to really attract the Lord's mercy is to approach him with nothing in the heart. This is very important. A good example of this is Ajamil in the 6th canto. Ajamil was really nonsense number one, in the sense that all his activities were completely opposite to Krishna consciousness. But for the first few years of his life, he was such a sweet devotee. Just by the force of material nature and the embarrassing conditions of material existence, he ran after this lady and he got so tied up with her. But at the end of his life, Krishna never gave up on him. And somehow or another, Krishna inspired him from within to name his son Narayana and become the object of affection. The critical point of Ajamil's life is at the point of his death. Because at the point of his death, Sastras tells us that he suddenly saw the Yamadutas. So he became very fearful. So when one becomes fearful, one remembers those things which are pleasing, loving, that give shelter. So he remembered his son. And he called Narayana. But even though he remembered only his son, even though it is a little bit of cheating because the intention was his son, yet Vishnu Dutta's portfolio was very simple. Anyone who calls the name of Krishna with intent or without intent, we come. This is mercy of Mahaprabhu. This is the mercy of Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. That even if you chant the holy names of the Lord without understanding the power of the holy name works. Just like a child or an adult can touch fire, fire is non-discriminatory, very pure. It could burn. Whether you know the power of fire or not, doesn't matter. If you don't know that water flows and you jump into a river, you will be dragged away. It will not say, oh, you didn't know, so never mind. You don't have to flow. No. Holy name is like that, Bhagavatam tells us. Whether you know or you don't know, holy name still acts on you. But for a devotee, if you become simple, and that means there is no duplicity in the heart. Not that Nithai Gosundar, I'm falling at your lotus feet because I'm in trouble. But tomorrow, Nithai Gosundar, I'm alright, so I'll take a leave from Bhakti, I'll come back to you when there's a problem. That is duplicity. So people may ask, how did Ajamil not become duplicious? For a very simple reason. When he shouted out the name of Narayana, he did not think that, after years of living sinfully, now I will shout the holy name of the Lord Narayana and therefore I will be alright. He didn't think that way. He just shouted innocently out of fear. And that was his qualification. So the point that the Acharya zoom in on is to innocently chant Krishna's names. That is what we should cultivate in our hearts. Without duplicity. If we do it that way, then Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful. Because in this verse it is stated, Lord, you are so kind, you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you. That means those who are simple-hearted, Krishna becomes very pleased with them. And those who just simply bow down without anything also, doesn't mean you have to be exalted devotee. You can be struggling devotee and you bow down and Nithai goes from the feet. They are very happy to save you. That is why they are known as the saviors of Jagai and Madai. because they had the most disqualifications. They had so much more than Ajamil, much more. And even then, Mahaprabhu was ready to save them. So we should remember this point. And we should also remember that Jagai and Madai attained the loving lotus feet of Mahaprabhu's mercy because they promised never to repeat their sinful actions again. And that is the meaning of being simple. Simple means we know we are wrong, now we don't want to do this again. Please, Nitai Gosundar, help us to achieve this state. This means we become non-vicious. We may have some past habits that may come here and there, but Krishna knows the heart. And he knows if you are simple, he will cleanse the heart himself. You know, Shrinatam Swadhatha Krishna. Krishna personally, if he personally cleanses the heart of the devotee, who has developed an urge to hear the message of the personality of God. So we must develop an urge to perform service for Nitai Gosundar. That is why we request all of you that in our center, it is not an accident that this center is Gauranga Center. Sometimes devotees ask us, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra there, so why are you calling Gauranga Center? Because we tell them that all this was achieved only by the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. From nothing we got this place. With all the odds against us here, somehow or another, Nitai Gosundar are keeping us alive. So it's Mahaprabhu's mercy we can worship Jagannath. If you can put it that way. So then, Mahaprabhu has created the opportunity to serve him. So why we don't serve him? That's why we should do that. So this is the meaning of it. And the last point that's really nice. He says that your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over this material ocean of existence. This is a very important point for Prabhu Srimadis. Because Bhavadi Bhotam, this boat, there is no boat in Kali Yuga which is actually not liable to sink. If you take any material boat in this world, you'll find that no boat is suitable to make us cross over this material ocean. You cannot. You can only cross over this material boat, this material ocean, if you have a suitable boat. And the suitable boat is only the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. This is a very important point. This point was also emphasized by Lord Brahma. Because Brahma also says in his prayers to Krishna that actually the hoof prints of the calves, you know, Vatsa Padam Param Padam, the lotus print of the calf, they are very small. So when the rain falls in there and collects there, it is not very difficult for a person to cross over. So in the same way, for those who have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Nitai Gosundar, no problems or obstacles in this world is very difficult to cross. This we must remember. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the same thing. Machitta sarva durrani. Mat prasada parisyasi. Very, very important. By my mercy, Krishna says, you will cross over all obstacles. And obstacles are always there, isn't it, Prabhu's Mataji? Always. Always. So they never stop because it is the nature of the world to provide obstacles. You will only not have obstacles if you are dead or you are not born. Between that time, you will always have obstacles. They are known as Durgani. Because they are coming from Durga. And they are coming from the superintendent of this material. So the only way to cross the obstacle is to fall at his lotus feet. And what is the greatest obstacle for a devotee? It is not the obstacle of no job, not the obstacle of no money, not the obstacle of no wife, not the obstacle of no child, not the obstacle of no bank account. No. These things will come and go. And even if you don't have bank account, you don't have this or that, you just go on. But the greatest obstacle for a devotee is forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the greatest obstacle. And that is why Mahaprabhu has come in this world in the form of his holy name, in the form of his beautiful leelas, in the form of the most merciful, merciful form, to actually tell us that there is only one suitable boat. You please get on. Prabhupada gave a nice example of Krishna consciousness. He said that Krishna consciousness is so much the mercy of Mahaprabhu that all you have to do is be on the boat. Prabhupada in one conversation said, when a boat has left a destination, it is going to come to its end. It's left a place and now coming to destination. As it travels, so many people are on the boat, isn't it? And it travels through choppy seas and everything. But the important thing, the captain of the boat is always looking out for is nobody should fall out of the boat. But when the boat docks and it reaches the harbor, it doesn't matter, Prabhupada says, whether you're in the toilet, whether you're up there on the deck, whether you're a captain, or whether you are just, you know, a stevedore just cleaning the place. It doesn't matter, Prabhupada says. Once you have reached the destination, you have reached the destination. This is a very deep point. So it doesn't matter, Prabhu and Mataji's, what form we take, what qualification or disqualification we have, what position we have, you know, I'm temple president, therefore I will reach destination first. Prabhupada says, if you're in the toilet and the boat has docked, then it means you already reached the destination. If you can't work with a boat analogy, because we don't take boat very often now, you take the plane. If the plane lands and for some reason you are right at the back of the plane, you still consider to have landed, isn't it? Doesn't matter where you are. Landed means landed, finish. So Mahaprabhu is not interested in how great a person you are or how terrible a person you are. His suitable boat is suitable for everyone. Everyone can get on the boat. All we have to do as devotees is make sure along that journey, nobody wants to jump from the boat. That's all we have to do. Somebody may fight with someone and decide, let me jump. No. At that point, we have to pull their dhoti, hopefully keep them also, not just the dhoti. They shouldn't jump and you keep the dhoti. You should keep them also and make sure that they don't leave the boat. Prabhupada said, just be on the boat. Because this is the suitable boat for crossing the ocean. That's all we have to do. Nothing else. This is the mercy of God. A good example of Mahaprabhu's mercy in Vrityatiham, Pranathapala Bhavadi Potam, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives, is the example of Vasudev the leper and Mahaprabhu. He says that particular leela denotes the mercy of the Lord as stated in the last line of being suitable as a boat in 11.5.33. And it's good to remember that very brief but wonderful pastime, because we know that this great devotee of the Lord Vasudev was a leper. And in those days, lepers means you had sores all over the body. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, they tell us the description. And we understand that his leprosy was so bad, it was very advanced. It was all over. And if you have been to a leper colony, you will find one thing. I've been once only. You find that the stench in a leper colony is terrible, because the sores are really bad. And it is true what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, because maggots very often, if you don't treat the sores, they end up being in the sores. Worms and maggots, they live in the sores. And because most of the lepers, you know, don't get proper treatment in many of these backward countries in Africa and other places, you find that eventually they just die off this way. What is a very treatable disease today, in some places is bad. But 500 years ago, a leper was condemned. So he was a nice Brahmana, and he was staying in Kurmachetra, which is very close to Jagannath Mandir. And he heard that Mahaprabhu had come to Jagannath Mandir. And he hurried there. But his great qualification, Sastras tell us, was the fact that even though his whole body was filled with sores, it never affected the quality of his devotional service. When we have obstacles that come to our body, we find that it's very difficult to actually advance in devotional service. You get a cold and you can't finish 16 rounds. You get fever and you say, oh my God, I can't chant japa mala. You know? When we become sick for 2 weeks of viral fever, oh, you find you can't read, can't do anything. But he was afflicted with leprosy. So not only was he ostracized, but there were maggots, there were worms, and they were always on his body. But the greatness of Vasudev was, he accepted his condition of life. This is very important. If we want to attain the mercy of Nithai Goswami, this is the first thing a devotee must learn. You accept that which comes as the mercy of Krishna. The moment you expect that I should not have this, I should have something else, that day all your anxieties start. But when you accept that this is Krishna, this is Mahaprabhu's mercy, that day all your anxieties end. It is a very small difference between accept and expect. But expectation kills, and acceptance frees you. And Vasudev was free despite his condition, because he said this is the mercy of the Lord. His psychology was, if I was all right, I would not remember Krishna. I would not remember the Lord. But because I'm in such an afflicted position, Krishna is so merciful that every day I have to just depend on you. I have to depend on you. This is the mood. Parikshit Maharaj had the same mood. He said, Lord, you have kindly come in the form of a brahmana's curse. Because you know that actually if you did not come like this, then I will be so attached to my family and kingdom that I will never renounce. See, all great devotees think that way. Vasudeva was just a few hundred years ago. He's someone we can immediately identify. And such was his greatness and humility that if a maggot or worm were to fall off from the body, he would famously pick it up and put it back just where it belongs. This is the mode of a devotee. Because he had complete detachment from his material body. And he thought, since his material body is already afflicted with so much disease, and since some living entities can survive and thrive from this disease, then is it not my duty to actually allow these entities to survive? That is service. That is service. We then don't have to go around picking up worms, but what we can do is go around serving the living entities. All devotees face difficulty. All they want in our life is a soft corner. A soft corner where a devotee can hear them and talk to them, and tell them, Mahaprabhu's mercy is on you, don't be discouraged. That's what Vasudeva was doing to the worms. He gave them a soft corner. You sit here, it's alright. My body is gone. But at least I have something I can give you. And in this way, he traveled all the way to Jagannath Puri to see Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that just at that time, Mahaprabhu had left. In a few half an hour or something, he missed it. So Vasudeva felt very discouraged. In his heart, you know, he was regretting that I am not qualified to receive the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was journeying already and he stopped, turns around and he comes back to Purushottam. Why? Because Mahaprabhu is the super soul in all our hearts. And whatever desire that we have to serve him or to take darshan of him, if that desire is simple, without duplicity, as stated in this verse, then Mahaprabhu always receives. So he came back, and when he saw Vasudeva, he embraced him. He embraced him. And at that point of time, the leper is completely shocked. Because he says, my dear Lord, there are people who never even come by me for miles. And despite the stench and the terrible affliction of my disease on me, and the fact that I'm carrying all these undesirable living entities on me, you have put aside all these things. And you have just freely embraced him. So at that point of time, Vasudeva is just dumbstruck by the mercy of the Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says that it is I who have benefited actually. Because today I've embraced one who is very dear to the Lord. And therefore it is my fortune. This is the simplicity of Krishna's nature. That is why whatever we must become is always coming from Krishna. It is not that we have to be simple, but Krishna is a highly complicated individual. No. Krishna is very simple. That's why we have to become simple. If Krishna wants a leaf, we should also take a leaf. If Krishna wants only a water, we should just take water. Because he is who he is. And our duty is to follow. Not imitate, but follow. So, the leper became extremely, extremely touched. And just the touch of Mahaprabhu, Vrityati Portam. Vrityati. Vrityatam. That means to touch. Touch. Just by touching him, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that his leprosy, his affliction was gone. And he became completely upright. At that point of time, before the pastime ends, he becomes worried. Because he's now wondering that if I now have a wonderful, normal body, which is so effulgent because of the Lord's mercy, I'll become very proud of it. And when I become proud of it, I will forget the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Maybe it is better that I should just be the leper that I am and serve the living entities when I can. This is the mood of a devotee. This is the mood of a devotee. And our sastras are very correct. This point is very important. Vasudeva stands for the proposition that pridelessness is the true ornament that attracts Krishna and Mahaprabhu. Humility, genuine humility. When devotee realizes that all everything about him is unqualified, and yet the Lord is so kind to receive him that devotee becomes qualified. Then he becomes qualified, or she becomes qualified. But if we have even a moment where we feel, actually I'm very qualified, you must give me mercy, then that lack of disqualification are actually the sores on our body. You notice, you know, when you have sores, our acharyas tell us, when you have sores and you pinch them, it's very painful. But when there are no sores, you pinch the same spot, it is not very painful. Sridhar Swami brings up this nice point. When you touch a sore, it is painful because the pus comes out. But where that place has no sore and you touch it, there is no pain. So if there is pride and someone pinches it, you feel a lot of pain, isn't it? We feel pain when our pride is touched. Oh, you talk to me like this, bro, I don't like it. Not me. But the pus is there. Someone touched it, you see. It's very, very painful. But if there's no pus, even if they squeeze it, it's not painful. Because it's okay. Someone said this about me, I deserve it. Where there is smoke, there must be some fire. Why waste time there? Better I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So this is the mood of Vasudev. This is the mood of Mahaprabhu. And that is why in the last line of the verse, it is nicely stated. Mande Mahapurushate Charanara. That we should fall at the lotus feet of this most greatest of all personalities, the Supreme Personality of God. And if we fall at His lotus feet, then His lotus feet is more than sufficient to take care of us. So on this wonderful occasion, Mother Mukund Prabhu, thank you very much for having given us the opportunity to take darshan of Nitai Gosundar. If we really want to serve them and please them, what we should do is always, always have full faith that their lotus feet are the only suitable boat in this day and age. We should become so chaste to their lotus feet that we don't go anywhere else. Anywhere else. And whatever inebrieties that we have, whatever sores that we have in our hearts, the best way to get rid of them is to become full of humility and to stop duplicity. If we stop this duplicity and we are genuinely humble, then nothing will touch us. Because the lotus feet will keep us firmly and safely in this. Jai Ratra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Shri Gurudev ki. Jai Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Sundar ki. Jai Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, Ananta Puri Vaishnavita ki. Are there questions, are there comments before we start Golarti? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned towards the end about the pride is like a soul that you squeeze it, you cannot feel the pain. Where do we draw the line between self-respect and ridiculing which can go around versus the pride? I mean, there will be some understanding, but maybe you can try.
No, it's a nice point. Where do we draw the line between
self-respect.
Self-respect.
And typical ridiculing or mockery which people might make.
Yeah.
Versus the pride.
Yes. The test actually is, Prabhu, the level of our disturbance. For example, a Vaishnava is told always to behave in a dignified manner because he represents the movement in Srila Prabhupada. So we should be exemplary in our character. It is the nature of Kali Yuga that we will at some point or another in our lives always be insulted. Vidura was a good example. He was insulted and his dignity was destroyed. And when it was destroyed and there was no need for him to stay on, he left his bow and arrow at the door steps and he left Hastinapur. But at the point when he left, Bhagavatam tells us, he was afflicted by the painful words of Duryodhana. Afflicted means he was hurt. Because Vaishnavas by nature are compassionate. We have a heart. We can't be stone-hearted either. But he was not sorry, Bhagavatam tells us. Because he saw that act as the external energy of the Lord. He saw it as the potency of the Lord. So what we should do, Prabhu, is if we are in a position where we find that we are ridiculed, we are insulted, and if you find that this position of continued harassment or ridicule does not help either party to remember Krishna, then better we walk away. Vidura did not try to stay on with Duryodhan because he knew it was pointless. But he traveled in Yatra and he was a well-wisher. And he came back for his brother. So in the end, because he was humble, but at the same time he maintained his dignity in the Vaishnava way, and he was not attached to the fact that he was insulted, even though he felt hurt. That state of mind and consciousness eventually got him to take association of Maitreya, even Uddhava. And when he came back, he was so self-realized that he gave so much solace to the Pandavas, and then he gave solace and liberation from material existence to his brother, who before that was untouchable in the sense of you can't change him. Throughout the whole Mahabharata episode, Dhritarashtra remains so difficult. But finally, only one person got through him in his meeting. So that is very instructive for us. Where the association is disturbing to us because it insults and there is so much of negativity, then we should avoid such association. Material association is like that. That's why the word embarrassing is there. You find when you mix with people after a while in familiar surroundings, they embarrass you. They insult you. They take you for granted. That is material world. But in spiritual life, we should be careful not to do that to devotees. Even if it is coming from someone, we should not come to that. So the line is, if it disturbs the devotional service, then we should stop. Not all of us will be like a leper who can take a worm and put it back. You know, we'll probably throw it away. But we can decide that we want to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And if it is too much, or the insults of material existence is too much, then we should seek the guidance of our spiritual master, seek more association with the devotees in the process, and eventually the painful afflictions of these insults, they will go away. And we will see this, as Bhagavatam says, as Vidura felt, we'll see this as the energy of the mind. Because that is how it works. Is that helpful to you? Any other points? It's a nice point. Yes?
Guruji, you mentioned that the qualification of Vasudev, the leper, was that even though his body was full of sores, his devotional service was not affected. But in our case, many times, for example, if we are too tired and we end up waking up late for Mangala Arati, or in many other areas, so how do we slowly get to that point where these things don't affect our sadhana?
It's a good point. There are so many obstacles that we have very often that affect our sadhana. They can be simple things. We are not afflicted by leprosy, but we are afflicted by sleep, which is a bigger disease than leprosy, isn't it? Much bigger and much more difficult. Very difficult. You know, and it's not like, you know, the source can be healed, you know. Sleep is eternal. As eternal as we are, sleep is also eternal. So, how do we then get out of that point? Is that your point? What is the last point? You phrased it in a certain way at the end.
But the qualification of Vasudeva was that his devotional service was not affected by bodily ailments.
It was unmotivated, therefore it was uninterrupted. His motivation was only somehow or another to remember Krishna. So that is why the bodily afflictions did not interrupt his devotional service. So, savai kumsam paro dharma, yathor bhakti radok sajit, ahai tuki apruti nata, vipatma supersede. Same principle. We can only become satisfied in devotional service and in life if we render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it must be done in two ways. It must be done without duplicity. It must be done by simply bowing down at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. In other words, it must be done without any ill motive. If there is no motive apart from serving the devotees in Krishna, then Mahaprabhu will arrange and facilitate your devotional service and never allow you to stop. He will do it. I've never seen a single example of a devotee who has followed this formula and not been successful. Never seen it. Never seen it.
So the formula works. If your devotional service is interrupted, then like Brahmaji does in 3, 9, 24, 25, you introspect. Introspect. Don't extrospect. Don't go and blame, the aircon was on so I couldn't wake up. Or the night was too hot, that's why I couldn't wake up. I put on 5 alarms, you know, but somehow or another I threw a pillow on the 5 alarms so I couldn't hear it. Something like that. Don't blame everyone. Simply blame the lack of your proper motive. And when we become serious and continuously chant Krishna's names, eventually we'll have. So the point, Prabhu, is even if we cannot wake up from Mangala Arati 100 times, still one time we wake up, we should have the confidence that we will wake up again. Don't give up. Don't give up. Same point of chanting the holy names. We will be chanting 100 years and still not have taste. Doesn't matter. You keep chanting. Keep chanting. The taste is going to come. And even if the taste doesn't come, the action of the holy name is so pure, it is already acting on us. We just don't realize it. When a plane takes off, speed very high, isn't it? When it's cruising, you can be forgiven to think that the plane is not moving. But you look at the sign and you realize, my God, it's going at 500 kilometers per hour. Sometimes even more. That's amazing. That's even faster when it got off. But you don't feel it. You don't feel it. Technically, if you did a sprint on a plane up there, right? You're running very fast, huh? Because plane is going at 500 kilometers per hour. You do the maths and you know you can get very tricky with that. But the point is, when we take up devotional service in the beginning, everything looks like we're accelerating. But once we're on flight, it's easy to forget that the holy name is still working on us. But we're not feeling it because of our conditioning. Because of our conditioning. So don't become discouraged. Continue the process. If you didn't have the process, what will you do on a Saturday evening? You go for a movie and come back. Will that give you satisfaction? No, because next Saturday again you have to go for another movie because this movie didn't satisfy you. But if you go for the chanting of the holy name and sit down in the center and hear a speaker speak, and then after that you get free food, which is even better, no coupon, nothing, and we don't intend to introduce like that. What happens is that your stomach is highly satisfied, your ears, all your senses are purified, and you come out actually more peaceful. But the rascal mind says, you know what, that movie is too better. Then you are in difficulty. So who to help? Nobody can help you. This is a situation where Krishna has thrown the rope into the well. Rope is right just next to you. And you're saying, Krishna, I can't reach the rope. It's there. I can't lift my hand to reach the rope. He can't lift your hand for you also. At least you have to lift your hand. That's the least we can do. So remember, when your devotional service is interrupted, your motivation is not right. Go back to the drawing board. Introspect on your motivation, be clear about how you feel, and then you will find that your devotional service is uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. And the only thing required is dridha vritta heart. You just need to have determination. Every program is possible, I put up. That's it. Just make it. You can squeeze 2-3 programs on it. Do it. Just do it until your body gives up. That's all you have to do. And you find your body never gives up. Your mind gives up. Mind will give up. Okay, this person is a devotee now. I can't do anything to him. Mind will give up. The body cooperates with you. Because the mind has lost the hold over the body. This is the secret. That's why devotees run around for programs and run around for opportunities for more sadhu association. That's why we're all here. Besides the prasadam, that's why we're all here. Is that alright from you? Okay. One last question. Then we stop. Yes. Okay. The whole cheating process is found in the fifth canto in the forest of enjoyment. So if you want to know really how embarrassing our life is, you just read the forest of enjoyment. You will enjoy it. That's the forest of enjoyment. It basically says how when we take up life in this material world, we think that we will find love and care and concern amongst our wives, our children, and our husbands, and our wealth and our property, and our social network, and our friendships. But we don't realize at the end of the day, after so many years, we don't realize that all these arrangements are very, very political in nature, very superficial in nature, then every transaction in this material world is based on what I can get from you and what you can get from me. That's the summary of the forest of enjoyment. So for example, since we are the company of devotees, I can say this openly. There's a very powerful verse in the forest of enjoyment that says, the materialist gets married to a wife and he wants to enjoy with her. But what he doesn't realize, embarrassingly, is just for that moment of physical enjoyment with her, which she can withhold, Bhagavatam says, he has to work very hard in the daytime and sweat blood. Because when he brings the paycheck and the house is nice, she is willing to be enjoyed. In the night, he doesn't realize that he has to expend the same blood in the form of semen. And by the discharge of semen, he is also losing the vitality of his energy. Actually, it is blood. But it looks very wonderful. But he doesn't realize the same blood he loses in the night is actually the blood he's losing in the morning. But he doesn't realize that while he thinks he's in control, the real control is in his wife. And for that moment of flickering happiness, he works like a donkey, just so that he can get one moment of happiness. And when he says, enough of being donkey, then what happens is, that feeling lasts only for about a day. And then that feeling that I have to enjoy again from her, from him, from it, from that, from this, makes him completely lose control of his mind, his senses. The living entity becomes cheated by material nature, because he thinks he can cheat material nature. He thinks he can cheat it by getting enjoyment that will last. He doesn't realize the rules of the game is that your enjoyment can never last. That's the rule of the game. You can't go and play chess and say, let's play Monopoly on a chessboard. It doesn't work. Chess is chess. Monopoly is Monopoly. So material nature is material nature. If you want everlasting happiness in an un-everlasting environment, it doesn't work. Result? Embarrassment, insult, foolishness, stupidity. This is the forest of enjoyment. So this is very embarrassing, isn't it? That's all I can give for now. That's all I have time. But read it. Forest, and by the time you go through the whole forest, you realize, oh, I feel very embarrassed now. I feel very, very embarrassed. Read it. Then when you take a class on 396, where Brahmaji says the entities are living in embarrassing condition, you recite the whole forest of enjoyment. And after that class, Prabhu, everyone will feel embarrassed, including yourself. Is that helpful to you? Let's end here, because I have another program to go and I'm late. Sorry, Prabhu's masters. Mother Mukund Prabhu, my apologies, but you will have to do...
No, I think.
Yes. And to continue with it, you must excuse me, because I literally have to run now.
Absolutely no problem.
The house that I'm going to is actually the house of the former editor of the new paper, the chief editor. His name is Mr. P.N. Balaji. Krishna Dimati, you came with us. Now, the first time we went to their house was because the lady, the wife, Uma, she had a friend in the circle who was very sick and had organ failure. And they told us, just come and pray because she's going. So we came and chanted and they were happy. 2 days later, we received a call and said, no more organ failure. So they became very happy. Now, P.M. Balaji is an atheist number one. He loves to write. He writes very well. He's a great writer. You can see his comments on everything. The recent comment he gave, actually, by the way, was what Singapore has to learn from this confiscation of all the tanks and everything. He's the one that wrote that article. So very sharp man, very intelligent. But the first time when we came for the program, you will recall, he only sat outside and never came inside. Never refused to close the door and never came inside. Only wife and everyone else. Then we receive a call and say, Uma told us that the daughter wants a program for Damodar. So myself, Yamaraj Prabhu and a few Mataji, we all went. Damodar program, he no choice. It's a condominium, cannot go outside, sit anywhere, he had to sit inside only. So he sat at the dining table and just watched us. And after the Damodar program, everything finished, we thought this is the end of it, we're not going to see. Now we get a call from Uma saying that the son-in-law's birthday is actually today and he wanted to celebrate it by having a program. If I were them, I would never want devotees in the house on my birthday. Why would I want to do that? I want to enjoy. So the taste for enjoyment has been touched by the Holy Name. Why would they want it? But it's happening. If it can happen to persons who have no idea about Krishna consciousness, how much more should it happen to us? And how much more blissful we should be that we are in Krishna consciousness? So that's a brief background. I better run. Hare Krishna! Jai Nitai Gaur Sundar Ki!
Jai! Just one announcement. Today is Pramod Chetri Guru's appearance.
Really? Hari Hari! So it's 5 years and it coincides, but you're not 5 years old. You're eternal.
Midnight turned one.
So it's very nice, you see. So who says Vaishnavas don't have social functions? We have, right? It is in Bhagavatam, it is a social occupational engagement. That's what it's called in Bhagavatam. We are highly social people. But everything we do, we put Krishna in the center. We put Krishna in the center. We wish you a very happy and wonderful appearance day, Prabhu. We pray that many, many more aarties you will do in the center. Because he's the go-to man when we are desperate for a Saturday evening pujari. Thank you for all the hard work that you and Mataji have been putting. And Vrinda, she is now? One. Very nice. No doubt that these children will become devotees. Much better than us. But please, we have to create the environment. That is our duty. If husband and wife do not create an environment of devotional service for Krishna, then actually we have no one else to blame but ourselves. That is our duty. Otherwise, why have children? Vishwadev is very clear, isn't it? You can only have children if you can deliver them. Otherwise, don't have children. Of course, if children can deliver you, that's bonus. That's of course a big bonus. You can rewrite Bhagavatam if you can too. But in many cases, it is the parents who must set. So see you all back at the center later. Krishna willing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki.
Jai.
It's like, oh, Sundar ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.